Hello, my name is Augustine Wazinski. I'm the special ed teacher at Grand Rapids Public Museum Schools.
Welcome to Quality Time with Esteban Clark Brennell. I'm Esteban Clark Brennell, and this is a conversation about education from those who provide it to those who receive it. Our first guest today is Augustine Wazinski. Did I pronounce that right?
It's actually Augustine Wazinski.
Augustine.
Common mistake.
This is already off to a great start.
Oh, that's all right. Seriously, that's why I usually go by Gus.
You go by Gus?
That's honestly why I go by that name, because everybody says Augustine. And I say, nope, it's Augustine, but you can call me Gus.
Can I call you Gus?
Oh, I thought you called me Trent, but...
I'm going to call you Gus.
Okay.
You are the special education / research teacher at the Grand Rapids Public Museum High School. Now, before we get into what that is, I want to ask you, where were you born and raised, and what you wanted to be when you grew up?
Well, I was born about 300 yards south of here at St. Mary's Hospital. So born in the Grand Rapids area, raised in the Grand Rapids area, grew up on the southeast side. What did I want to be when I grew up? Well, I think like a lot of young boys, I wanted to be a professional athlete for a while. And then probably around the time I was like 12 or 13, realized that's probably not going to happen. And then for a while in high school, I really wanted to be a mortician. I'm not really sure how I got onto that track, but I was like, this is what I want to do. Like, I seriously researched it and looked up schools of morticianary science.
Mortician. So yeah. You wanted to handle dead people. You wanted to, really?
I wanted to help people through the difficult time of losing a loved one. And I don't really know why I settled on that, why I wanted to do that. And then... end of junior year, start of senior year, I realized that's not what I wanted to do. And I knew I wanted to work with people, though. So I thought it looked into like counseling, psychology, physical therapy. And then I settled on education. I wanted to be a coach. I guess I should say I really wanted to be a basketball coach. And while researching people who do basketball, who coach basketball and things like that, I realized most of them are teachers. So I was like, well, that'll be my day job, is I'll be a teacher and then I'll be a basketball coach on the side. So
teacher by day, basketball coach by night.
Right. Yeah. I mean, obviously until, you could be pretty successful as a basketball coach eventually if you're good enough.
So where in this did you settle on special education?
I didn't settle on that until I went to college.
I should interrupt you. I don't mean settle as in, you know, resort to. I mean, mm-hmm. Where did you decide?
Yeah, so I went to Aquinas College here in Grand Rapids. They have a pretty good education program. Really liked it. So I got into that program, and I wanted to be like a first or second grade teacher at that time. And while taking some classes about education, I realized, well, I should say I have a brother who's 10 years younger than me who was in high school. No, middle school? He was probably in middle school at the time. Anyway, he was in school, and he was struggling. He is not a special ed student. He's just possibly ADHD. He was just struggling, though. I don't, you know... Now, knowing what I know now, yeah, he would never be a special ed student or anything like that. But anyway, his struggles made me realize, like, I want to be a teacher who can work with students who even teachers who are experienced have trouble with. So that's kind of what guided me towards that. And then the director of the education program at Aquinas had a special ed background. And so she was really all about that idea. So I think those things kind of combined led me to special ed.
So So what brought you to the museum school? I mean, you've gone through a couple schools. Can you go into a bit of what you did there before you got to the museum school?
Sure, yeah. So I tell everybody, you know, it's my fourth year teaching. By contract, it's my third because my first year was long-term subbing. So I guess both of those jobs that I had, my very first teaching jobs were at South Haven. I was a sixth grade special ed teacher. And honestly, I ended up with that job last minute because of a friend who was a Spanish teacher in South Haven. And so I interviewed for a different position, didn't get that one. And then a week before school started, somebody else quit. And so I got that job because I'd already interviewed. They already knew me. And obviously, I guess they liked me, just not quite enough to give me the other job. So I worked that job. I just did sixth grade special ed. I really enjoyed that job. And then partway through that year, though, I was contacted about a job at Caledonia High School doing special ed math, and that was much closer to home, and I was very interested in whether or not I wanted to work with high schoolers, and I really like math, so I was like, well, I'll give that a shot. So I interviewed for that job, and I got that one, and so I did the rest of my year as a long-term sub there. After that, I got a job at Immaculate Heart of Mary Catholic School, which is like, that was my home parish where I've attended church like my whole life. And they had a couple of postings for elementary teachers, as I said earlier, or maybe I didn't say. I have a degree in elementary education. And so I was like, well, I'll try and use this degree instead of the special ed degree. So I taught fourth grade, did not like it. So then I transitioned the next year at the same school into being a special ed teacher there because that person left. And anyway, at the end of that year, I was, you know, looking for other jobs. I was not quite sure if I was going to leave or not, but I was looking. You know, I was just, if it was the right job that came along, that's what I was going to take. And I, you know, sometimes it just comes down to who you know. The Spanish teacher at my school knew somebody in Grand Rapids Public who said, hey, we have this position I think you'd be perfect for. So I interviewed and got the job at museum school.
And so you mentioned you taught fourth grade and mm-hmm. you said you didn't like it. When you're dealing with fourth graders, what differences can you find with fourth graders and teaching special ed at the same level? Because you taught special ed mm-hmm. in fifth grade, right?
Yeah, I did some... And in sixth grade, it's hard to, and especially now that that's been a couple of years removed, exactly what didn't exactly fit about that job. That's a good question. I think that some of the stuff I didn't like was kind of like that, the whole class sort of thing. And like, working with all the, you know, the entire class, as well as, you know, the super high achieving students and the super low students, which I mean is honestly something incredible that every teacher has to do. But it was something that I was like, well, I've been more used to not, you know, that's not what my focus has been. It's been, you know, more of those special ed students. So that was like a change and something that I did struggle with definitely for a little bit. And then I guess part of it was also just the elementary element to it. There's a huge difference. I mean, I would say every age group has a bunch of, you know, there's pros and cons about it. There's some things I really like about high schoolers and some things, you know, sorry, I don't like about it. Same thing with middle school and elementary. But I just felt like, you know what, this is not exactly, you know, what's best for me working with elementary. You know, it was not those fourth graders' fault. I really didn't like walking them to their specials classes. For some reason, that really bugged me. And that's, again, that's something elementary teachers do. That's part of the job. I knew that. And then I started doing it. And I was like, maybe not quite exactly what I like to do. And it's not something that you do as a, you know, as a secondary teacher of teaching middle school or high school. So I guess, yeah, it just kind of overall wasn't a great fit for me.
And this is something that we really haven't clarified, I don't think. And for those who don't know, what are the duties of a special ed teacher?
Yeah, there's duties. There's a lot of, like, the legal implications of it. Like, hey, we've identified this student needs help. Let's help them. And unfortunately, I think we've just, as a country, kind of have a history of not always helping people who are difficult to help. So there's things that have been put in place, you know, like, you got to do this now. Not that it's unfortunate that we're doing those, but that for me, you know, what I want to do is to help a student, is to help every student achieve the best of their ability. But a lot of times I have to jump through hoops to show that that's what I'm doing. And then, yeah, like I, at the museum school, my position is 100% push in and support. Like, I don't have a classroom, which I have had at other stops along the way. So I collaborate. I don't plan my own curriculum, but I collaborate with the other teachers. That, hey, what are we teaching? That sounds good, but this is what I think I'm going to do so that my students can access this material and be successful with it and things like that. So yeah, there's a lot of talking with the other teachers about what they're doing and then making that work for everybody. And then, yeah, I mean, there's a decent chunk of paperwork on the side too. And then, yeah, I mean, then there's all the things that, you know, all the teachers do. A little bit of, I don't know, I don't want to call it student crowd control, but, you know, just school management. I have lunch duties sometimes and breakfast duties and things like that. Yeah, maybe that's all I do. I don't know. Can't think now.
Do you see, so you've taught special ed in a variety of different schools. What kind of differences do you see in a school like the museum school versus something like South Haven?
Well, I mean, every school that I've ever been to has kind of its own unique, you know, like, culture about it. So that's something that's always different. You know, the populations that make up those schools have something to do with that, as well as the people there and just how things, you know, people are used to it. The museum schools are super cool in that we use the proficiency model. So that's something that's definitely very different.
And for those who don't know, what is the proficiency model?
Right, yeah, the proficiency model being when you're given, you're given content to learn and to master, and then you're asked to, you know, to show that you understand it, that you're proficient at using that, whatever those things are, as opposed to in a traditional school, material will be taught, and then you will usually take a test or something, you'll be assessed on it. And if you don't get it, okay, well, you get a C or a D and we move on. Whereas at the museum school, oh, you took the test and you didn't get it. Let's try again. And let's try again. You know, so those,
yeah. Really ingraining.
You're really ingraining it. And I do think that's a great way to do education because, you know, what's the point of teaching something if you don't really expect people to get it? Or if you say, well, I thought this was important to teach you, but now we've run out of time, so I guess it's not important anymore. So I do like that we do that. However, yeah, so that's a big change, though. And like I said, I do like that model, but there are times it's like, well, it might be nice to just say, oh, you know what? You didn't get that, but it's over now. Let's move on. We don't do that at the museum school, so it's like it never goes away. We need to make sure that we've got this material at some point. So that's a big difference. Trying to think of some other differences. I mean, the difference between working with ninth graders at a museum school, or 10th graders, obviously, and working with sixth graders in a smaller school like South Haven. You know, I guess with, I don't know. Blanking on some stuff now.
That's fine.
Yeah, some differences.
I want to go back to, you mentioned how in America, the United States, we don't generally help those who need a little more patience or something like that. Have you seen anything in this government, in this presidency, really, legislature-wise, that could aim to help special education?
So I just, you don't want to clarify, just saying that we don't have a history of doing that. For anyone who, you know, works in special ed, or a lot of that has been tied to the civil rights movement. Like, that when we started letting, you know, in the case of the civil rights movement, we started letting African Americans into the schools, and then like, well, we also need a lot of these other people in as well, which is a good thing. And then to answer your question, no, I haven't really noticed anything that's impacted a whole lot of special ed one way or the other. However, I also started working in special ed at the same time, more or less the same time that this, you know, current president took over. So this is in some ways all I've ever known.
That's interesting. Well, thank you so much for joining us. I don't want to make it sound like there's more than another host here, but thank you so much for joining me. It was very interesting. Very nice to talk to you. I guess I'll see you tomorrow.
Sounds good. See you tomorrow.
Yep.